Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6055, or you can email me at betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound.
Well, all right. Hello, everyone.
All right. Hello, everyone.
Sounds like you're having a little technical difficulty. I'm hearing a lot of feedback.
We should be good now. Can you hear me, Elder Taylor?
Yes.
Yeah.
You can hear me fine? We should be good then.
Yes.
We should be ready to go. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome, everybody, to our Tuesday night Praise Tabernacle. Elder Oliver, I'm hearing a feedback.
Okay, keep going. I don't know where that's coming from. Yeah.
Okay.
We're working on that, but we should be pretty good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, it seems like we've experienced some technical difficulties tonight, and it's kind of hard to talk when you see yourself being repeated.
So we're
going to be right into the message with our own Elder Oliver. So hopefully we can get past these technical difficulties tonight and get right into the word. He's a dynamic teacher, one of the members at our church. D&K
Bible break on Monday night.
With him and his wife. So he's going to be our teacher tonight. We have our own rabbi, Richard Bluett, is on with us on the panel tonight as well. And I haven't heard of Jeff Stanton yet. So our panel is on. We're here. We're ready to get involved with the word tonight and learn something and get something from the word. And hope everybody will learn and get something from the word tonight. And we just want to give God glory and honor tonight and welcome everyone here to our Praise Tabernacle Bible study. Elder Oliver, this is your hand. Go ahead,
Amen, amen. I hear everything is fine on my end. I don't know what's going on the other mics, but I guess I'm hearing to hear echo. But on my end, I'm showing 100%.
Okay. Yeah, it echoes me.
So
every time I say something.
Yeah, I hear your echo in when other people talk. I don't know what that is. I didn't know, but I'm being told we are good to go. And I think we have, I don't know, I can't see the switchboard. I don't know if Evangelist Stanton is on. I know Evangelist.
I'm here.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. And Evangelist Bluett, I believe she's on as well.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. All righty.
I
know you couldn't hear because you was hearing the echo, But yeah, she was on. So we have Evangelist Stanton, Evangelist Bluett, and Elder Taylor. I think we should be good on the echo. I'm going to have them text me in a few minutes to make sure we're good to go before I get started. Elder Taylor, anything you want to say before we get started?
No, I just, again, as always, I'm looking forward to another dynamic Bible study.
Looking forward to the input. If I can get past the echo, I can hear myself. Yeah, I'm hearing the echo too. Okay, we're gonna get past the echo. Do you have headsets on, Elder Taylor?
Are you on it? You have headsets on? No.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's not the issue. But anyway, you know, the devil always wants to try to come in and stick his nose in it, and that's fine. We're gonna definitely get past it right now. So I'm gonna open us up in prayer, and we're gonna get right into the lesson. And if you guys want to comment, please stop me to comment because I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need your help on tonight. And with that being said, we're just going to open it up with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you for this Bible study. Father God, we want to thank you for everyone that's on the panel, to everyone that's listening, everyone that's listening on the phone line, to everyone that's listening on the internet as well. And Father God, we just want to give you all the praise and all the glory, Father God, as we get ready to start this Bible study, where I might decrease and Father God, everyone can increase. Father God, we ask that if anything in me does not like you, Father God, I ask for your forgiveness right now, Father God, I ask that give the listeners the ear to hear your word, Father God, but not only be hearers, but also be doers of your word. And Father God, I just ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And for the panel, like I said, if you guys, I'm definitely going to be on the road tonight. So if you feel you need to chime in, please interrupt me. But I'm going to try to be professional and ask if y'all got anything to say. But tonight, we're going to be coming out of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. And as you guys get 1 Samuel 16 chapter, I'm going to start 11 verse. 1 Samuel 16 verse 11. I want to just give honor to the bishop, Bishop Omar, First Lady Pamela Zachary, Bishop of Praise Tabernacle Church. We just want to say, send them a shout out. They're probably listening. And just continue to pray for the leaders of the church. And also pray for all the elders and the deacons, those that are not on the line and those that are on the line, all the evangelists of Praise Tabernacle. Just keep them in prayer, keep the leadership team in prayer. And as we pray for one another, as leaders also pray for the sheep, that we all stay connected as God lead and guides the bishop as we follow him into the direction the Lord is taking him, that we can just be a help as the ministry continues to grow. And with that being said, I just want to send a shout out while I can to my wife who's listening while she's at work. She's supposed to be working, but I know she's listening. I just want to send her a shout out as well for making sure that I'm always prepared. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the task is, she makes sure that I'm prepared. And, you know, when you have a wife that's a helpmate that helps you prepare, even if it's going to the store, she makes sure I have everything I need. Even when it comes to studying the word, she makes sure that everything that I'm fully prepared, which hopefully I'm prepared tonight. If not, it's her fault. But also, I just want to send another shout out to just in general, just the people who are listening to us over in Germany, the Bahamas, and in London. I just want to send a shout out to you guys as well. And I'm going to tell you a story how I got this lesson. And I know Evangelist Stanton is on. Her husband, Deacon Stanton, gave me this message. He stirred it up in my spirit the other day. me and my wife that just did the D&K Bible break Sunday morning at Praise Tabernacle. And I think it was maybe Monday or Tuesday, Deacon Stanton called me.
Hello?
And, he was,
hello?
Yes. And he was like, he told me that complimented me and my wife on a great lesson that Sunday morning. And he said, you know, we was at capacity inside the church. And I said, yeah, yeah. He said, yeah. He said it's so gentle and so nice. He said, yeah, we're going to have to probably start having the elders don't be there every Sunday. You know, take turns coming in the house. And when he said it, my spirit started jumping. I didn't know what it was jumping for, but it started jumping. And it led me to tonight's lesson. And in 1 Samuel 16, chapter 11, verse is where I'm going to start. But I titled this, "Why We at the House, Who's Keeping the Sheep?" And I need y'all to let that register in your head for a minute. "Why We're at the House, Who's Keeping the Sheep?" And when he said it, I didn't understand it. But I understood it. I understood exactly what he was saying in the physical. But in the spiritual, my spirit was jumping because of what he was telling me. And it kind of caught my spirit on fire. Because while everyone is in the house, who's keeping the sheep? I just want that to resonate out there. Who's keeping the sheep? And if you have your Bibles, we're going to start verse 1 Samuel 16th chapter, verse 11 is where I'm going to start. And it says, And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And then said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." I'm going to stop right there. And we all know the story about how Jesse and his boys, he put his boys on display, because out of that house was supposed to be the next king. And he had 8 sons, but he only invited 7 to the party. And I'm going to paraphrase a lot of these things as well, but it's right there in chapter 16. If you want to read it all, he paraded his sons one by one in front of Samuel to see if they were going to be the king. And as he brought them to the house, if they were in the house or outside the house, they were at Jesse's house. And it says that David was attending the sheep. He wasn't invited to the party. And this message is really for the leaders, because it myself, and it's really for me as being a leader, because as we're in the house, who's keeping the sheep? Who's going to get the sheep? Because we're in the house. And it kind of reminded me of church. When we get to church as elders and deacons and evangelists, we get to church and we want to hear our name. We want to be in a position. Elders, we sit in a certain spot in church. Deacons, we're in a certain, we want people to see us in position. And it's only rightfully so. But as they were trying to find the king, and as they was put on parade, it says, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There's one keeping the sheep." And as leaders, we come to the house of the Lord and we teach the word of God and we do that. But when we leave the house, are we attending any sheep? Are we going to get new sheep? Are we just caught up in a position that when we get to church and we get in the house, do we just want to hear our name called? If Bishop, is he going to acknowledge Elder Oliver is here this morning? If he don't acknowledge me, am I going to get an attitude because I wasn't acknowledged in the house? And it made me, as I was reading this, and as the deacon was telling me, we can't always be in the house. And we know we got COVID-19. We know we have a certain amount of people that can get in the house. And some people need to be in the house. But who's going to get the sheep? David wasn't invited to the party because he was attending his father's sheep. He was attending. He was taking care of the sheep. He wasn't inside the house. He was outside the house getting the sheep ready. And it made me want to ask the question as leaders, are we going to get the sheep or we just want to be in the house? Are we going to be a knowledge because we can teach Bible study or we can preach on Sunday? Are people looking at us at our positions? But if we've been called by God and if we've been anointed by the Lord to have a position, isn't it our job to go out and get the sheep? Or is it our job to be in the house on Sunday? Now I want to paraphrase this because the church is like a hospital. And when you in the hospital, you have many doctors. So if we're elders and deacons, we ought to be able to take care of the patients as they come to the house. But back in the day, in the old day, doctors made house calls. When someone was being sick or something was going on, a doctor would make a house call and go to their house to see what was wrong. And if it was serious, they would bring them to the hospital. They would bring them there and treat them there in the hospital. But sometimes they would go to their house and make a house call. And see, we want to be so worried about being inside the house. Are we really doing what the Lord called us to do by attending his sheep? Now, I know Praise Tabernacle got some sheep, and I know some members that you're supposed to call on a regular basis, but there's other sheep out there that needs to be brought to the house. And sometimes you might have to stay outside the house so they can get inside the house. Because if you're called and anointed by God like David was, and David didn't fit the description, so sometimes you're not going to fit the descriptions or go places that God wants you to go, but you're going to go because God called you and he equipped you. And even though he picked David to be the king, he wasn't king. He was picked to be king. That wasn't his that was his destiny. But the day that they came to the house, he didn't become king because he still had some work to do. Sometimes we got to get outside of the church and do some work what God has called us to do. It's not the pastor's or the elder's jobs to tell me to go out and get sheep to bring them to the house. That's just something that you should be individual based. That you should be doing for yourself, for the Lord. If you were called for any position, you should be doing something for the Lord outside of the house. And I understand, and people, please bear with me when I say this. I'm going to talk about discipleship in a minute, but please bear with me. When you're called by God, he gives you a ministry to do. Now, I'm supposed to help the pastor, whatever he needs help with. That's my job to help. But my also job is to minister to what the Lord has called me to do that has nothing to do with it. We're supposed to be ministering outside of the house is what I'm saying. And if you're ministering outside of the house, you will bring them to the house so the doctors can help them and the nurses inside the hospital can nurture them back to where they need to be. And you know what I'm saying when I say nurture them back to where they're supposed to be. The church is a hospital. We're on call 24/7. We need to go home. We need to leave the house and go get the sheep and bring them back. And not the sheep that was assigned to you, but there's sheep all around you. There's sheep at your job. There's sheep in your family. There's sheep at the store. We need to hear those things. We need to go get those people and bring them back. Before I keep on going, anyone have anything they want to say before I keep on going?
No, not yet. Sound good.
All right. So when Jesse paraded his sons around Samuel, they all fit the prescription of a king. They all had the ability to do the job. But when you read the description of David and you read what he was ruddy. He was he didn't fit the description. But that's who God chose. And when I say this, because there's people and there's sheep out there that don't fit the description of what a Christian looks like, because they cuss, because they drink, because they do whatever the situation may be, God can still use them. And not only can he use them, he can make them a king, even though that they're not right. And we as leaders of the church, because we're right, and we're dressed up right, and because we can teach and we know some scriptures, we think that we have arrived, that we supposed to be in this position where we are looked upon as we're on top and everybody else is on the bottom. But if you look at the description of David, he didn't fit the description. But we all know how great David was at the end. But in the beginning, David was a ruddy person. He was he didn't fit the statue. And what I'm saying, and it's very important, in the time we're living in 2021, we have to look at everyone, that anybody can be the king. Anyone can be a child of God, regardless whatever their description looks like, whatever you heard about them, they can still be a child of God. And not only could they be a child of God, they could be a deacon, an elder, an evangelist. They could be anything that God wants to use them to be. We have to stop looking down on people. And when you get to the door, check the title at the door. Because when you come into the church, I can't be Elder Oliver. I got to be Brother Derek. There's a difference. You cannot be that. You have to be called. If you're called by God, you have to be that person called by God. We so hung up in titles and positions that sometimes we're losing the battle with the sheep. If the same sheep is coming in every Sunday after Sunday, somebody's not doing their job. I'm going to say that again. If the same sheep is coming into the house Sunday after Sunday, someone's not doing their job. If I'm Derek, Elder Oliver, my job is to go out and bring new sheep in. Now, I'm going to say this, too, because this is going to hit home. And I hope you understand where I'm going with this. There's sheep in my house that's not going to listen to my voice. It doesn't mean they can't be saved. I can't reach them. I need someone else to come in to hear that voice, to help guide them to the house. And there's some people in your family that you can't reach because you're too close to the situation. You need people like me or someone outside to come in to bring them in because they're not going to respond to your voice. And even though we are elders and deacons and we know the word of God, if we're not trying to go to other people's house to bring them in and help them, can we really call ourselves a disciple of Christ? I know we know the scriptures. I know we went to the classes. I know we paid our money to go to these Bible colleges and everything. But are you really doing what God has called you to do? Jesse put a parade on in his house with his kids, and he paraded them around. And I want you to get this, and I'm going to use the church, because when we come to church, we like to go in there, and we like everyone to know who we are, because it feels good when bishops say, there's Elder Oliver, and but at the same time, if I'm not going to get no sheep, I'm just there at the party wanting to be recognized, but I'm not doing what God has called me to do. And a lot of times in the church, especially 2021, in order to go to that next level, we as the leaders have to go out and get the sheep and bring them in to the house. And necessary, we ain't got to bring them in there and stay in the house with them, because there's other doctors in there that can minister to them. It's our job to bring them there and get dropped off. I might not can minister to your sheep, but you can minister to my sheep. Maybe Elder Bluette can minister to my sheep, and I can minister to his sheep. it really doesn't matter because it's all God's sheep. We just got to bring them together. And what I can't reach, you should be able to reach. What you shouldn't reach, someone else should be able to reach them. And we ought to be going outside the house, attending to the sheep. Because there's a lot of souls out there that needs to hear the word of God. And we're the only people, we're the closest people to a lot of people that's going to hear the word of God if we go out there and evangelize, if we go out there and do what God has called us to do. And that is to minister the word of God outside of his house and hopefully bring them to the house so they can get healed and repaired. But if we're not going out, and all we're doing is ready for the party so we can be introduced and we can have and hear good things about ourselves, then we're in this for the wrong reason. Your title is in it for the wrong reason. Just because you got the title, you also should be putting in the work of doing what a good disciple should be able to do, and that is to go out and get the sheep and bring them in. Anyone got anything to say so far? Because we're about to get into the discipleship.
No, you're good. That's what I'm waiting on.
Well, when we get into discipleship, and, you know, there's 12. I don't know if I'm going to get through all 12 of them, because when you start reading one and two of them, I think we need to take the time and just rushing through them. We need to identify what is being a good discipleship. How do you become a good disciple? And one of the things is sharing the good news to non-believers. That's the first thing. Sharing the good news to non-believers. You can't be surrounded by a bunch of believers and think that that's sharing God's good news. You have to go outside your comfort zone and get unbelievers, non-believers in your family, non-believers on your job, non-believers in your neighborhood, non-believers all around your community. That's one of the first things that we need to do, and is to go and share the good news of the gospel to non-believers. Loving God is another trait of a good disciple. We have to love God. And when I say love God, I'm not talking about God with the small g. I'm talking about God with the big G. There's a difference. And believers have looked at this loving God thinking, okay, well, if I just love the church. Well, see, the church is the church. And if you love the church, you love the religion of the church. You don't love God. Because there's a lot of churches and people love their church, but they don't love the God of the church. They love that on first Sunday we wear black and white. On the fourth Sunday we do this. You love the things of God, but you don't love God, because if you love God, you should be able to have that agape love. You should be able to love unconditionally people that have hurt you, people who have tried to scandalize your name. You should still supposed to show that love. I know I'm talking right now. We also supposed to stand out is another thing. We're supposed to be different from the world. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be different from the world. One of the things that happened over the week is I had a video crew come in. I had a first video crew 2 weeks ago come in and do the video. And as they did the video, I hadn't heard nothing from them. And all the response has been text messages. They didn't text message nothing about the service. They didn't say anything. They were strictly business. And I was trying to get a feel for them where they would not return my phone call. So I said, well, if they're not going to return my phone call, even though they said everything was good, I didn't like the response. So I went with another video company for the second week. And I was out of town over the weekend. This gentleman couldn't wait to talk to me. The first thing he said was he really enjoyed the service. The second thing he said, he learned a lot. The next thing he said, even before he talked about the video, it was about the service, because something touched him during the service. I don't know what it was. I don't know who greeted him. I don't know who talked to him. But someone showed him some love inside the house. And whatever it was, he enjoyed it because he commented me, not in a text, that he couldn't wait to verbally talk to me. So when you loving others as they are, that's part of being a discipleship. And then another thing we got to do, I just want to throw that out there, is you have to deny yourself. Deny yourself. I have to deny myself. I can't go to church being Elder Oliver. I got to go to church being Brother Oliver. Because if I'm looking as an elder, people looking up to me. I can't have you looking up to me. I got to have you looking at me like I'm your brother. And there's a different relationship when you're dealing with your brother than you're dealing with an elder. And I really ain't got time to go into that, but I'm saying a lot. You know what I'm saying. There's a difference. Because a brother is going to hold you down. A brother is going to hold you accountable. A brother isn't going to run your business around and tell everybody what you got going on. A brother is going to uplift you. He's going to tell you when you're right, tell you when you're wrong. But when you're looking up to an elder, then that means people looking up to you, and they put you on a pedestal. I don't want to be put on a pedestal. And being a disciple, you shouldn't want to be put on a pedestal. And we also have to be firm in God's word. We have to be firm in God's word. We can't sugarcoat the word. We can't make it fit what we want it to fit. And we can't do that as disciples. We have to be firm in the word. If it looked like a duck and it quacked like a duck, it's a duck. You can't make it a chicken. Okay.
That's good.
Y'all
right.
Quiet
That's
on
good.
Me. Y'all quiet on me. We can't be disciples, and what we're doing is we're cheapening ourselves, and we're making ourselves weak because we're not being God's disciples. We just want to come to church and hold our positions and hold our head up high. Now, I'm not saying everybody is like that, because I know there's some people who are doing some discipleship work, who's out in the community, who's trying to draw people to Christ. There are people doing that. And I'm not saying no one is doing it. I'm just saying we all should be doing it, because there's some people that's doing it. I've heard testimonies of people who are giving, going out, searching for souls, helping people at work, trying to tell people about Christ. I've heard it in the testimonies. I've heard it in the teachings. But it's more than just coming to church on Sunday, coming into a house, having a good time. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. And if we're not being disciples outside of the house, my goodness, what good are you to the church? I'm going to ask, what good are you if you just come into church to be recognized in your position? And I said that Deacon Stanton got me to thinking about this. And he got me to thinking about it just by his words. We all can't be in there on Sunday. Somebody got to go out and tend the sheep. Someone got to go out and do the work to bring them in. And I know it's COVID time and we got a capacity number. But the question is, do you want to be at the house party or do you want to be at the after party? And see, I'm all sold in 2021. I really don't want to be in the house. I want to be in the house, the after party. And we all know what the after party is. See, we can jump around and shout in church, but are you going to make it to the after party? That's the question. You can fool me in the house party, but can you make it to the after party? Because only the cool people show up to the after party. Everyone can't go to the after party. Y'all not hearing me. Everyone can't go to the after party. Only a select few go to the house party. What I'm saying is, just because you're jumping around in the house down here on earth, it doesn't mean you're going to make it to the after party. The after party is when you get called home to be with Jesus. Anyone got anything to say? Because I'm getting excited about that right now.
Elder.
Yeah, go ahead, Evangelist.
Awesome and great awesome teaching on today. I was listening about discipleship. Take discipline. And Discipline to share the word of God, especially outside. Too often we get caught up in who we are, and it's not about us, but it's about Christ. So it's very important,
Disciples that have discipline.
So thank you for this lesson of tonight.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Evangelist Stanton. Anyone has anything else to say before I keep it moving? Because I want to ask a question to the panel. And the reason I want to ask the question about being a disciple of Christ, and I'm looking at David, and we all know David, the story of David. We know his struggles. We know what he did, good, bad, and ugly. We know it. But when he was called, his brothers was on display, and he was keeping the sheep. That's what the Bible says. And when I think about that, it makes me feel like I'm not doing what God has called me to do, because while everyone is on display, he was keeping the sheep. He didn't cry about not being on display. He didn't make no excuses about trying to get to the party, because he had seven brothers. He was number eight. He didn't cry at the first or the second or the third brother. He was doing God, his Father's business. And when we can start doing our Father's business, we can become better. And when I said, when Deacon Stanton was telling me this and my spirit was jumping, the Lord was showing me my faults. See, because the bishop can say, Brother Derek, can you do this and do this? That's me helping the bishop do whatever he needs help to do. But am I doing what God's called me to do? See, there's a difference. There's a big difference. You can ask me to do something all day long, and I can do it. But this is doing it because you asked me to do it. Am I doing what God asked and called me to do? There's a difference. There's a big difference. See, I don't want to be a help to Praise Tabernacle. I don't want to be a help to Bishop Omar. I don't want to be a help. Because if I'm a help, I'm doing it for them. You understand what I'm saying? But when you are a disciple of Christ, not only are you going to do it to help them and help others, but you're going to go beyond and do what God called you to do. If he called you to preach, preach. If he called you to teach, teach. But just don't teach it in the house. You got to go outside the house to do God's work. If the only time y'all see me, and I'm going to say this, and it may not sound right, because it didn't sound right when I was saying it in my study and in my meditation, but if the only time you see me is to preach, but yet I'm bringing sheep to the house, it's not going to be Derek bringing the sheep to the house or being led by God. It will be, oh, he only want to come to church when he preaches. No. In a sense, yes. If I'm doing my calling the way God called me to do it, I'm supposed to be out in the field. Yeah, every now and then I'm supposed to drop in the house, see if I can be of service or a help or be a blessing or whatever it is. But to be honest with you, if we as elders, deacons, and evangelists was really thinking about our calling is outside the house. And I'm not saying this to say y'all need to stay home on Sunday. I'm just saying on Sunday morning, we ought to be bringing some sheep to the house at some way, point, or another. And not only because we only at a capacity, we ought to bring them on social media. If they can't make social media, there's another way they can call it on the telephone. We need to be using our services that is presented before us to be disciples and not just sit there and wait on someone to tell us we're going to go out every Saturday starting such and such day. Because if we sitting there waiting, what are you doing while you're waiting? But just sitting there. collecting dust. We can be intelligent on the phone. We can be intelligent in the house together and say, yeah, that's a good word, and clap and pat each other on the back. But there are sheep out there that is dying, going to hell, because we're sitting up in the house, parading around, trying to get accolades and feeling good about the accolades that a man is giving us. And I'm not saying that the man don't deserve to give us some accolades. I'm just saying, as a disciple of Christ, me moving forward, I want to be on fire. There was something lit when that comment was said to me, because I could have took it the other way. I could have been like, what do you mean, Elder? I'm going to be in church every Sunday. I have that right to be there, and I do, but God called me to go get them that were lost.
Amen.
And yeah, there's a number. Amen. There is a number that can fill up the house. The thing about it is some people need to be in the house, but some of us that's been called, they hear this great word week after week, Sunday after Sunday, it's time to put action in what we're hearing. It's time to be a doer and not a hearer. We've been hearing the word for months, for months, for months. We've been preparing ourselves since the 80s. They used to always say, my daddy used to always say, what you going to do when the church closed down? How used to, and now it's become fruition. We have too many avenues of how to go get people now. They physically ain't got to come to the church. We can send them an app and tell them this is how you need to be here. And we need to be doing that not just on one day. We need to be doing that every day. We shouldn't be sitting around waiting on one person said we're going to go out on Saturday and we're going to canvass the land. If you're not doing it already on your own, why do you need someone if you've been called? I'm not talking about people who just want to follow the leader. And I'll be like, well, on Saturday, well, Brother Derek's going to be down at the park. Whoever want to come, show up. See, that to me, that's just, okay, I can use your help. Come on. But shouldn't we be doing that anyway? Why do we need to have someone design doing discipleship when we hear it every Sunday? We hear it every Tuesday. We hear it every Thursday. Y'all have the saying that, y'all, we close every prayer with what we ought to be doing. But yet and still, we sit at home and just wait for somebody else to go do it. And then we want to tag up. Oh, if you need me, I'm there. See, we shouldn't be asking that question. You should be asking yourself that question between you and the Lord. Lord, what should I be doing? And it should become an asset to the church. It should become an asset to the ministry that you fellowship with. It shouldn't be Praise Tabernacle is going to be doing this. Where is Praise Tabernacle going to follow you to? If Praise Tabernacle was to go home with you, what would they go home to is the question. But the question is, Praise Tabernacle is never coming home to you. You always coming home to Praise Tabernacle. So we don't know what you're doing while you're at home. We know what you're doing when you're in Praise Tabernacle. So what I'm saying is, I'm going to reverse the role. Can Praise Tabernacle come home with you? Can they go to work with you? What are they going to see when they come home with you? Are they going to see a disciple? Or are they going to see, and I mean this in a very nice way, I know I'm going to get a lot of slack from them, a dum-dum. I'm putting it out there. If Praise Tabernacle was to go home with you, and what I mean by a dum-dum is to go home, sit down, and dum-dum and do nothing. But you have the cliche and the knowledge to know how to say amen, praise the Lord, and quote a few scriptures. That's what you do in the house. But outside of the house, are you keeping sheep? Outside of the house, are you going to get that cousin that's lost, that you know that's lost? We don't know that they lost, but you know that they lost. Yeah, I know I'm talking good now. I know I'm talking good. Because we all got some sheep somewhere in our house or outside of our house that we need to be attending to. We need to be attending to it. But yet, we're going to let somebody else do it. And then the reason we lack is we say because we're not really doing all the discipleship, or we can't do this and we can't do that. And I acknowledge that sometimes it's hard to get our own house clean. That's why we got brothers and sisters that can help us, that can come in to where my voice may not be heard or may not be seen. Somebody else's it can be. And that's what we ought to start doing to one another. Because if we all try to clean up our own house and bring our house to God's house, and if I can't get everybody in my house, but I know Elder Taylor can come to my house and help me be that voice that can't nobody else hear. Or I can get Elder Bluette to my house because he's been places I haven't been. He can deal with that spirit better than I can. See, y'all not talking to me. That's what discipleship is about. Everyone in my house ain't going to hear my voice. Because I've been clean all my life. I ain't never been on drugs. I ain't never sold them. I ain't never smoked them. I ain't never drank. They may not want to hear my voice, but there's someone in my camp that can hear and have a bigger voice than my voice, because we all work for the same person. It's just different parts of the body being used. Okay, I'm going to say it like this, because we all know about the parts of the body. You need all the parts of the body. You need it for a reason. Well, I can't cook a dinner if I ain't got no hands. But I can walk if I got my feet. I can walk and go get someone and meet somebody and put them on my back and carry them. But I can't cook a meal for them because I don't have my hands. But Evangelist Stanton got hands, and she can cook for me. But I got to go get them. And if I can bring them back, maybe she got a word that can connect with them. That's what discipleship is all about, working together for the good. And when you work together for the good, God gets the glory. Anyone got anything they want to say? Okay, y'all quiet on a brother tonight.
Yeah, I have something to say. I lost my train of thought.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Speak on about David, and he was about his father's business. When you about your father's business, you don't have time to listen to what everybody else is saying, what everybody else is saying, and what everybody else is doing. And that's what I love about David. Because though the oil wouldn't flow on his brothers, what's yours? God has anointed everybody to do something. And your anointing and your prize and what God has you and what God has and don't nobody else do. And don't nobody else. We don't have time to be hating on nobody in the ministry because everybody has a ministry. Regardless if you have a title or not, it's always something to do. It's always room for everybody. But everybody don't want to do the work.
So can I ask you a question real quick? And I know I probably ain't supposed to be asking questions, but I'm going to put this out there because I'm trying to get a feel. And what you said, everyone had what God has for them, and what God had for David was for David. What happens when God has something for people and they've been in the same position for so long, they're not doing anything, but they accept the position and there's no fruits running behind them?
I'm not about to worry about David, but at the same time.
When David was out in that field, he didn't have time to worry about who ain't called him or his name being called or nothing else. As long as we do what we're supposed to do and keep our eyes on the prize, believe me. God gonna deal with them.
Right. But at the same time, and I'm glad you brought that out, because what David was doing was minding his business, doing what he had to do, his father's business. But when you're doing your father's business, and this is where, you know, and his brothers was being paraded around the house, And it's very symbolic to what goes on into the church today, because you could be doing your father's business and doing your father's business, and at the same time, sometime, and this is just my opinion, doing your father's business and a true disciple, when you see something that needs to be done and you do it, and sometime as disciples we get overloaded because we're doing other thing. We can't just focus on what God called us to do because there's other things that need to be done. What I'm saying is, if we go out and get the people and bring them to the church, and now they're at the church, and then the people ain't got a ride to the church. You done brought them there, and you got them there. And now when they're there, they're there, but they can't get back and forth. You done your job. But when you look and you see these individuals, why they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, because they got to a certain point and it just stopped. You did your job and you got them there. But then again, when you look back over and you see, well, what happened to them? And it's like, wow, didn't no one ever follow up? Didn't no, you got them there. And then it hurts my heart when, as being called a disciple, when you see something needed to be done because you got that in your spirit. And it says that part of being a disciple is loving and teaching and sometimes denying ourselves. Sometimes you'll step out of your lane to try to pull somebody else back in. And when you pull them back in, you can't always It's not always – I come across a lot of stuff, and when I come across a lot of stuff, it's not – God is just showing me things. It's not for me to say, okay, I'm going to drive and pick up everybody who don't have a way to church. That's not my ministry. But yet, if I come to a cross and bring someone that needs a ride to church, and I bring them to the church, and they're there, but yet ain't no one going to go pick them up, okay, it falls on me, but also I'm going – outside of my lane to make sure I keep these people in church. But you got people who's been called the same calling that I have. Now I'm minding my business. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But yet when you see so many holes in the church and in discipleship, you have to address it, not to try to show shame on anybody. But if we all work together for the good, how can we say we don't, you have hands and you don't need defeat. We need all of it to work together. And when people are not working together for the same cause, it makes the church weak. Everyone, it's not the bishop's job to do everything. It's not the bishop's job.
You're right.
To assign. It's not his job.
So let me help
you. He has to micromanage.
So let me help you. So let me help you. Because evidently you have a I'm not sure, but I'll just put it like this. I was doing a whole lot after when I got there. When people start coming in,
they start feeling those positions
where I was doing,
which took the load off of me.
Did I hate them for doing that?
No, because
sometimes we have to fill in until other people come.
Okay, and once God starts adding to the fold,
we can't judge because I do so much of everything, a lot of people don't even know that I've done it, and I still haven't gotten credit for it.
But that's not for me to say who's not doing what.
I just did what God told me to do.
And it's a lot of times God will show you things
just to pray about.
I have prayed about stuff in and it came to pass. So it's not for me to say who's not doing what, because we don't know what everybody is doing.
Exactly. When you're doing and you're doing it because you're being led to do it by God, and not for people to see or people to praise you. You're exactly right, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's exactly where I'm hitting at. It is not for me to say what I do outside of the church. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is when Jesse's kids was paraded in the church, when Jet brought his kids up to see what was going on, and he paraded them around, and David was keeping the sheep. You're right. David was keeping the sheep. All what I'm saying is this. If you're doing what God has called you to do and you're doing it, and all I'm saying is sometimes it ought to be done outside of the church, outside of the house. I don't know what people are doing outside of the house. All I'm saying, are you bringing sheep to the house? I'm not looking for recognition. I'm not looking for someone to say, oh, this person is doing this person is doing that. All what I'm saying is that if we're called disciples, we're going to do what God has called us to do, period. We're not looking to be uplifted. We're not looking to be praised, oh, you did this, Brother Derek, pat me on my back. I'm not looking for that. All what I'm saying is as a disciple, and what I see and what the Lord is telling me is we need to tend to the sheep outside of the house and bring them to the house. Now, how we do that and how you're called to do that is between you and God. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I ain't got nothing to do with no patting on the back. My job is to do what God calls me to do. But where I see a lack in the church, a lack in leadership, a lack in because we all, and I'm not saying just praise time now, I'm just saying leadership all across the board, is we get so sidetracked on titles that we just want to be, I'm Elder Oliver, and I can preach, and I can teach, and that's it. That's not discipleship. And so many people think because they got a title and they can quote some scriptures and they want to be seen, but yet who's doing the legwork? Who's doing the work outside, bringing people in? And that's all what I'm saying. It has nothing to do about being praised or what we're doing.
But is it bringing in the kingdom or bringing them in the church? Or bringing them in the church?
Well, first you got to refer, the church is like a hospital. Church is a hospital. We need to go get people who are lost. And from what the Lord is showing me, and this could just be for Derek, is there's a lot of sheep that's out in where I'm at in my world, and I have to go get them because I know them. I know they need a savior. I know that. I have to go get them. But when I get them and bring them, it's up to the church, the hospital, to help them, whatever they may need, whoever, however, whenever, is what I'm saying. It's my job to go out there and get them, because as a disciple, that's what I'm supposed to do, is go there for and grab them that need it and that's willing. Now, I ain't saying they're not willing, and you can't make someone do something they don't want to do, but when you have the presence of God on you, and when you have the presence of God in you, wherever you are, you ought to be trying to draw the lost sheep, the darkness, showing light, and bringing them to the house is all what I'm saying, bringing them to the house, and let God clean them up. But yet, if we're just sitting, and I don't know who's sitting, I know I was sitting for a long time, but yet something then caught me on fire to where I see and I recognize through talking with people, we just sitting here and we're not doing what we were called to do. And as elders and evangelists, if that's what we were called to do, is to go out and bring them, okay, I'm not saying that I'm just saying that's what we're supposed to do, period, is to go out therefore and bring them into
and teach all nations. Teach all nations.
Teach. We that's part of being a disciple. Is to go out and to teach. Is to go out and to preach. Go out into whatever it is that your talent is. If it's sing, if it's praying, if it's giving, whatever it is, we should be doing that, not just amongst each other, but out there around people on work, on your job, in your neighborhood. It's not just for Praise Tabernacle. And what I'm saying is, if we all was called, and I'm not saying you or Elder Blue are not doing that, I'm not saying that, or any of us are not doing that. I'm just saying, as disciples, are we challenging ourselves to go out and bring the people to the church? I didn't say it was Elder Taylor's job to bring them, teach them, clean them, and do. It's not just his to do all of that. But if he's a called disciples to go out and try to bring them in, we all have that in common. We all have that common goal. I can't play the keyboard. I can't sing. That's not my ministry. That's not my goal. But I've been called to preach and to teach and to go out. That's what I can do. I can't sit there and promise you I can pay or help sow a seed with your bill. That's not my ministry. That's other people's. That's why if we all come together and do what we were called to do, what I can't do, you can do. What you can't do, someone else can do. It's all together fits the body. And that's all what I'm saying. If we all can just do what God called us to do, and then people say, well, clean up your own house. See, I can't clean up my house. I can try, but they may not hear my voice. And then the more and more as I pray, and the more and more as I'm starting to see and minister with other people, okay, I can't get to them because I don't understand where they're coming from. And if I can't understand where they're coming from, they're not going to understand me. That don't mean I can't get to them. I just got to go a different route. I may have to use somebody else that's been there. And do I know someone that's been there? Of course I do. You come on over to my house. Speak to these people. That's what being a disciple is. You have access to hands, feet, head, eyes, ears. You have access to all these things. And if we're not using what we have access to, then I'm just saying we're just not doing nothing. And that's all I'm trying to say. And that's all I'm trying to get people to see is to be on fire for the Lord and go do what God has called you to do and bring people to the house. And if you can bring people to the house, it's there at the house where they'll get their anointing. It's there at the house where God can touch them and lead them. But we got to do something and go get them. We just can't sit and not do anything. And I'm not talking, if you're doing what God has called you to do, by all means, keep doing what God has called you to do. And I don't have the position or the power to say who ain't doing what. All I know is what I see. And what I see is we have a place where we fellowship. And we have a place where we fellowship. We need to go out and draw people that's in the community, even though it's COVID. They ain't got to come to the church. They can go to Facebook. They ain't got to go to Facebook. They can call a phone number. They just can't call a phone number. They can go online. There's other avenues now that they can get access to the Word of God. Are we doing all that we can as disciples to help people? And that's all it is for me, is to help people. Because we're living in a world where people are dying every day, going to hell. Whether it's on your job, in your neighborhood, are we doing all we can? And can you go to sleep at night knowing that you did all that you could do to help those sheep that you know that need Jesus? And that's all what I'm saying. Because when I answer that question to me, I fall short. And I could be the first to admit I fall short. I don't need no one to tell me what my calling is. The Lord already placed it in my heart. There's already sheep with my name on them. Am I going out doing what we practice and we pray every night when we end this service? And if you feel comfortable and you feel good about yourself, then okay. Me personally, I don't feel good about myself. And when I say that, the reason I wanted to teach this is because I want everyone to self-examine themselves, examine your heart as being a disciple, a leader in the church. Are you going out getting those sheep that are lost? I got some cousins and some uncles, and I got some neighbors that don't know the Lord. Well, did I do everything I was supposed to do today to go reach them people? Or was I just sitting in my house thinking that they're going to save themselves? Because those souls are on me. When you go to an alcoholic program. Everyone got something in common. They were all alcoholics. And sometimes I got some alcoholics, but I'm not an alcoholic, so I may not can relate to them. I have to go get me an alcoholic. I need your help. A recovering alcoholic. Let me be clear with what I say, because I know people are going to take notes of everything that I say to the T. So when you go out into a lost world and you see people who then been hurt in the church, who whatever the situation may have been, and we go out there and we try to get them, it may not be Elder Oliver. It may be Elder Taylor. It may not be Elder Taylor. It may be Elder Bluette. It may be Evangelist Stant. Somebody within the arsenal that we have can go in there and get these people and help bring them to the church. That's what, it's just my opinion, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm not here trying to check anybody and say, are you doing it? Are you doing it? I'm doing it with me, and I'm not doing it. And the Lord put it in my spirit to have this come out, have this conversation, have this during Bible study, because we can teach. We know we can teach. We can preach. We know we can preach. The question is, are we going out doing what we're teaching and preaching about on a day-in and day-out basis?
Amen.
And I'll be the first to admit, I fall short. So this is for me before it's anybody else. I fall short. I got some neighbors right down the street, talk to every day, ain't said nothing about Jesus to them. That falls on me. That's not Bishop Omar's fault. That's none of the elders or the evangelists. That's my fault. I got relatives that I refuse to call because they're about that life. And because they're about that life, I don't wanna go there. But I'm about God's life, so I'm supposed to go there. So this message is for me. So when I say this because moving forward, I'm going to try to be about that life, or be about that disciple, and be about my Father's business. And I can only do what I can do. But I'm going to go out doing all I can do. And if I mess up, I mess up. If I fall short, I fall short. But I'm going to fall short fighting for the Lord. I'm not going to be a disciple sitting on a bench waiting to be praised, waiting for a turn, waiting to be patted on my back. I'm not going to be that disciple. I'm not going to do that. So when I say I'm not going to be in church, it's not that I'm always going to be a part of the church. But I'm also going to be a part of doing what God wants me to do, going out there trying to reach and teach those that are lost. I'm sorry, fellas. Elder Taylor, I don't know what time they lost track of my time, but that's all I got for you tonight. Are you really doing disciple work? That's my question. And to do a self-evaluation, are you going out attending the sheep? That's all I got. Elder Taylor, is anybody else there?
I think we lost Elder Taylor.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But awesome.
Brother, and how they look like they could be. But
And David had David had that part
I think I got Elder Taylor back.
Yeah, I'm back. You hear me?
Okay. I don't know what. Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah, it's a very bad echo of the island for everybody. You are the only one that's not with the echo.
Okay.
Everybody that talks. It's a very bad echo, so it's hard to talk.
So it's hard to talk.
So what we're going to do is we just want to close out tonight.
So I don't have to keep hearing.
And everybody else's feedback.
So you kind of have to understand everybody.
Okay.
So Pastor Bishop, he said it's a very bad echo.
Okay.
So I got a clear signal.
I'll close this out. Because I hear everybody fine. I guess, I don't know. Yeah, I know everyone else when they talk, they got an echo. I got my team looking into that right now because on everybody's switchboard, they got 100%. Okay, we're good. Anyway, hopefully you learned something tonight. Hopefully you heard the word, and hopefully you can self-examine yourselves about what a disciple is. And, again, I just want everyone to know that, you know, it starts at home. It starts with the person in the mirror. Are you doing what God has called you to do? And that's basically much what I wanted to put out there on display. And me being honest and honest with myself, with the Lord, I'm not doing all I could be doing. I'm just going to put it out there. And so it starts with me first. And hopefully we can all be better, all do better. And with that being said, I'm going to close us out with prayer. And don't forget that we'll be back on Thursday night at 7 p.m. for Omar, Zachary, and Family Ministries at 7 p.m. on Thursday, and then on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday morning praise tabernacle, Sunday morning praise and worship service at 9 a.m., and also on Facebook Live Thursday night and Sunday morning at Praise Tabernacle Church in Lawrenceville is their Facebook page, and you can watch it live on Facebook Thursday night at 7 p.m. Omar Zachary and Family Ministries, and then on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Praise Tabernacle Church praise and worship service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. Also, it's the same phone number if you want to call from Blog Talk, 845-277-9094, or you can go online at Blog Talk, www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, to listen to us online. With that being said, let us all I'm going to dismiss us in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you right now, Father God. Father God, we just ask that you just be with us, strengthen us, bring us together, Father God. Father God, I ask that you continue to let your light be shine, Father God, and not our light, Father God. Father God, let your will be done and not our will, Father God. Father God, I ask that you just touch each and every one of us that was on the panel tonight, strengthen us, encourage us, Father God, to do your will, Father God. Father God, I ask that you watch over Bishop Omar and his family, Father God. Touch them right now where they're at. Strengthen them right now, Father God. Father God, I ask you to watch over every member of Praise Tabernacle Church, Father God. Touch them. Those that are sick, Father God. Touch those that may not know you right now, Father God, that's trying to know you right now, Father God. We ask you to touch them as well, Father God. Father God, I ask that you just continue to bless us and guide us and lead us in a direction, Father God, that you would have us to go. And Father God, again, I ask that for all the sick and shut in, I ask you just to touch them right now, Father God. And Father God, we ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen. Amen. We are out.